Designed in the USA and made in El Salvador.
Made in India.
Made in China.
Most people don't think about where their clothing was made, but chances are, right now, if you're dressed, you're wearing something made in a sweatshop somewhere in the world.
Made in China.
Made in Bangladesh.
Changes in trade policy sent much of our U.S. manufacturing overseas in the past few decades, so that now we only produce about 2% of our clothing here. And for many brands in the industry, it's simply a race to see who can sell the most for the lowest price at the expense of those at the bottom of a very long and complex supply chain. That's Eduardo. He works Monday through Saturday, stitching together T-shirts in a factory in the Dominican Republic, and he makes, as he says, less than what a decent meal costs him. He's one of the many garment workers and seamstresses who struggle to make ends meet working these highly skilled jobs. This business model has given rise to what, today, we call fast fashion, a system where clothing is produced quickly and cheaply by exploited workers, most of whom are women, and according to the Foundation for Economic Education, the average consumer in the world is now buying more than 1.5 times the amount of apparel they did just 6 years ago. This is partly because new clothing collections are brought to market each week, providing consumers with the exciting opportunity to shop for different and trendy pieces almost every day.
So we're here at a local department store. We're going to see where some of these items are made. Made in China. Made in China. Made in Bangladesh.
So here's a cute crop top t-shirt, all cotton on clearance for $4.98.
In making these items so impossibly cheap, we're externalizing some of the costs to the workers and taking advantage of populations that often don't earn a living wage because of our consumption habits. Dominique Muller is a London-based activist and leader with Labour Behind the Label, and she works to get fair wages for garment workers all over the world.
If you look at the cost of a T-shirt from, 10 years ago to now, you can get it for the same price, if not less.
Yes, that's true. These days you can get a cheap new T-shirt for under $5, or the price of a nice latte, or a day's meal for Eduardo, and that's not a lot of money to pay for the amount of work and process that goes into producing a single article of clothing.
If it's really cheap, then, someone has to pay for that cheapness, and usually it's the worker behind the pair of shoes or T-shirt.
Organizations such as the Clean Clothes Campaign and Labour Behind the Label believe that workers are entitled to be paid a living wage, which they define as one which enables workers to meet their basic needs for nutritious food and clean water, shelter, clothes, education, health care, and transport, as well as providing a small discretionary income. But this is rarely the case.
Traditionally, it's an industry that is based on cheap labour, on labour-intensive. So although you have brands, like H&M that say they're trying to make a difference and they want to pay better wages, at the same time, if you look at where they're going, they're moving, they're moving away from China and they're moving into places like Myanmar, Burma or Africa because the wages are cheaper.
Our collective thirst for consumption has led brands to seek the lowest bidding factories. Often these factories are in developing countries where there are different laws and restrictions, or lack thereof, and this allows labor abuses to happen. Brands don't own the factories, and there often are middlemen who broker the deals between designers and producers with very little transparency along the supply chain. So a brand might not even know that they're using a factory with unfair labor practices. And we usually imagine these injustices occurring in faraway countries to nameless workers we'll never know or see if we think about them at all. But the truth is, garment workers are fighting for living wages right here in America.
There's this perception that sweatshops are a problem that happens only in developing countries, that it's something that happens far away from us, and that's really not true.
Journalist and author of the fashion industry expose Overdressed, Elizabeth Klein has been working with organizations to bring awareness to the situation here in the U.S.
In 2016, the Department of Labor did this very thorough investigation of the garment factories in Los Angeles and found that 85% of them were in violation of local and federal labor laws. So what it showed was that sweatshop conditions in Los Angeles are the norm. They're not the exception.
Many garment workers here face similar conditions as those overseas, with unsafe building conditions and outdated equipment. They're often victims of wage theft. They work long hours with no overtime and very low pay. There's a common misconception, though, that if the workers are paid a living wage, the resulting, more ethical fashion will become prohibitively expensive for consumers. That's not true, though, as Klein says. The price increase would be barely noticeable.
It would cost as little as 10 cents to a dollar per garment to pay a living wage. So the first thing that consumers need to realize is that it would cost very little to pay everyone in the fashion supply chain a fair wage. The global economy has more than enough wealth to go around. There's no reason why anyone should be working 60 or 80 hours a week and living in poverty.
So the next time you're wondering whether to buy a new article of clothing, think twice. Think about the environmental and social impacts of fashion and check out organizations like the Clean Clothes Campaign, Labor Behind the Label, the Garment Worker Center of Los Angeles, and WorkerRights.org to find out more.